A good Saturday morning to you. This is Cincinnati Edition. I'm Mark Purcell. Learn about the Sea Change Young Professional Leadership Development Program put on by the Cincinnati USA Regional Chamber when Julie Bernzot joins me in the studio later on Cincinnati Edition. And in about 15 minutes, it's Scott Buehrlein from the Cincinnati Zoo talking about the upcoming Sustainable Urban Landscape Symposium at the zoo. First, Jay Hanselman has a look at what was making local news headlines this week.
Cincinnati and Winton Woods school districts are reacting to an auditor's report that finds evidence of scrubbing. In a letter to Auditor Dave Yost, CPS says it has examined the matter internally and found no evidence any of its employees intentionally manipulated attendance data in a manner in which they knew to be improper. It says the majority of errors relate to building-to-building transfers. In a posting on its website, Winton Woods acknowledges there were irregularities. The district says it reported them to the state and made administrative changes to make sure they don't happen again. Winton Woods says many of the errors were due to improper coding of students who were expelled. Two other Ohio districts were identified Monday as scrubbing data. This brings the number of districts to 9 found to have manipulated attendance data. The auditor's office is out with 13 recommendations to prevent the practice from happening again. City officials are highlighting nearly $23 million of infrastructure improvements now complete near Horseshoe Casino Cincinnati. Those projects include wider streets and sidewalks, improved lighting, and new trees and other landscaping. Pendleton neighborhood resident Carrie Rathod attended a ceremony this week near the casino site.
I was one of the skeptics a couple years ago, and now I'm here to say on behalf of Pendleton, Over the Rhine, and the Central Business District that I'm thrilled with the result of the partnership that has come about and help transform the Pendleton neighborhood as a result of the casino's investment and the city's partnership in Pendleton.
The $23 million of work was funded through tax increment financing. That allowed the city to issue bonds based on a guaranteed valuation of the casino's future property taxes. Horseshoe Cincinnati is scheduled to open March 4th. Meanwhile, the casino has cleared a major hurdle before it will be allowed to open to the public in 3 weeks. The Ohio Casino Control Commission this week issued a gaming license to the $400 million Horseshoe Cincinnati. The commission made that decision after discussing concerns about the $20 billion of debt of one of the casino's developers, Caesars Entertainment Corporation. The commission concluded Caesars is currently meeting its debt obligations, but will be required to provide updates on its financial stability. The casino's scheduled March 4th opening is contingent on a dry run of the facility on February 27th. The casino will have to fix any problems identified during the dry run before opening day. If any major problems are identified, the opening could be delayed. Cincinnati will be speeding up the demolition of condemned buildings within 1,000 feet of schools or areas with a large number of families with children. Councilmember P.G. Sittenfeld has been working with officials to make the change. He says in the past, the city has demolished about 40 to 60 structures a year.
Because of the settlement that the Attorney General did and money the city can now access, we're going to be doing 10 times that. So 400 to 600 demolitions this year. We'll literally be doing about a decade worth of demolition in 1 year, which is why if we're going to do it, let's get it right and make sure that we're not just taking down eyesores, but keeping our population, especially children, as safe as possible.
City inspectors will also be reviewing buildings near schools not on the city's demolition list to see if others should be included. Governor John Kasich's second budget has been officially introduced in the Ohio House, though hearings actually started after he unveiled the spending plan last week. The Senate won't get the budget till it passes the House, and that could take a while. But Senate President Keith Faber says his caucus is already looking it over and is especially interested in the governor's proposed shift from income taxes to sales taxes as the state's largest source of revenue.
We like out-of-the-box thinking here in the Senate. But from that perspective, we haven't taken a position formally on any of the proposals. We're going to vet them, we're going to listen to what people have to say about them, and we're going to study the impacts, both intended and unintended.
Faber says the caucus also hasn't taken a position on the proposed expansion of Medicaid, but admits Republicans have some concerns about the long-term impact on the state. Republicans outnumber Democrats in the Senate 2-1, and the GOP also has a supermajority in the House. A group of metropolitan mayors and judges executive is encouraging Kentucky lawmakers to fix the state's broken pension system and legalize the local option sales tax. Led by Louisville Mayor Greg Fisher and Lexington Mayor Jim Gray, the Metropolitan Alliance for Growth gathered in the Rotunda this week to stand up for urban issues. The group touted the budgetary benefits of pension reform but stopped short of endorsing any specific bills. However, Mayor Gray did say bonding didn't help Lexington's pensions.
At the end of the day, benefits have to be adjusted, terms have to be adjusted, and the institution itself, in our case the city, had to step up and say, we're going to raise our contribution.
As for the local option tax, legislative leaders oppose the idea, but Fisher says the education campaign will continue, and the alliance hopes to finalize language for its own bill soon. The president of the Ohio Board of Education issued a public apology this week for reposting a wrongly attributed quote from Adolf Hitler on her personal Facebook page. Debbie Tarher had come under fire after she used the quote to hint that gun controls, like those being pushed by President Obama, were what Hitler used to take power in Nazi Germany. Democrats demanded Tarher's resignation. They didn't get that at this week's meeting of the Education Board, but they did get her most public apology yet. As a few dozen of her critics looked on, Tarher told the board she sincerely apologized and truly regretted her action.
It was never my desire or intention to offend anyone at any time. I fully realize the sensitivity of the issue at hand, and I was wrong to repost something that could ever be perceived as insensitive by anyone.
Democrats had filed a lawsuit demanding release of any emails Tarher had written since the controversy exploded a few weeks ago. That's the Week in Review. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Jay Hanselman.